reading before the lesson this morning is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 6. That's found in page 356 in the Pew Bible, if you'd like to read along. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we'll read verses 6 through 8. 2 Samuel 6, beginning in verse 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day.
Morning. It's good to see everyone out with us this morning to worship God together. Appreciate Tim reading that for us from 2 Samuel chapter 6. Last Sunday afternoon at our study at the Juvenile Detention Center, I led the study there and used the story of Uzzah to help try and explain to the young men the importance and the seriousness that God's commands must be given. And I think Uzzah is a great example for us today of how serious God's commands are. But as we read through that story, I could tell very quickly, it was a story that the kids, for the most part, were not familiar with. And so when we get to the conclusion of that story, and Uzzah is quite abruptly struck dead, it caught them off guard a little bit. And we continued to talk about this story and that application. And I could tell that one of the young men in particular was having a really hard time with this. And at one point in our conversation, I finally got what it was that was bothering him. And he finally said, "I just don't understand how God could punish someone who was just trying to help him. How could God put someone to death who was just trying to help?" I have no doubt that Uzzah knew the value of the Ark of the Covenant and what it meant to God. Whether that played into his actions or not, I don't know, but I fully believe that he understood that. And so I can see how someone could look at this story and think to themselves, he was just trying to help. He was just trying to protect something that he knew was important to God. How could God punish him for that? And that statement and that question has been on my mind ever since. And as I've thought about that idea and that conundrum that was going through that young boy's mind, we can look at that idea of trying to help God on two opposite ends of the spectrum. In one sense, I can see how that makes a lot of sense to a young man. Uzzah just wants to be helpful. He wants to protect something that means a lot to God and to his people. And regardless of our inferiority in any given situation, we all, I think, feel that innate desire to be helpful. We all know what it feels like to be in a situation where maybe we're not the smartest one in the room, but we want our ideas to contribute. We want to be beneficial. We want to be helpful. But on the opposite end of that spectrum, the thought of trying to help God can also seem a bit ridiculous. In what sense would the Almighty, all-knowing God who spoke me into existence need my help? Any intelligence, any wisdom that he has given me that could provide any use and benefit in a given situation came from God. How could I possibly think that I could help him? Turn over to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, Paul enters the city of Athens, and as he enters and walks through the city, he shares with us the sights that he sees with all of the idols and their different names that the people in Athens had erected. And as he comes before the wise men of Athens, having just seen an altar with an inscription to the unknown God, he says the following in verse number 24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Paul here makes a very important point to these wise men of Athens. And Paul's point was that the idea that man can help God is what leads to idolatry. Let's think about it for a moment. Idols have to be built by man. Idols have to be cared for by man. They have to be clothed and decorated by man. Idols need man. And as Paul looks around this city and sees idols on every street corner, he makes the point to these men, don't you understand? The true and living God needs nothing from you. The mindset that God needs man's help is the mindset that led Athens to build idols on every street corner. The true God doesn't need any of that from us. The true God existed before man was ever even created. There is nothing that he needs from us. Turn with me over to Job chapter 35. In Job chapter 35, Job's friend Elihu, after hearing all of the godlessness and bad advice from his other friends, said the following beginning in verse number 4 of Job chapter 35. I will answer you and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see, and behold the clouds. They are higher than you. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects a man such as you, and your righteousness, a son of man. Our sin is in no way going to diminish the power of God. Just as our righteousness is in no way going to strengthen God. But then that begs the question. What use are we? What is our purpose? Why are we here if we can't be helpful to God? Let's look back at the story of Uzzah And let's think about that again. When that ark began to wobble as the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark and to keep it from falling to the ground, what was Uzzah's responsibility there? Was Uzzah's responsibility to help? Was Uzzah's responsibility to say, God, I've got this for you? What would God have had Uzzah to do in that situation? I would suggest to you the same thing that he would have you and I do in any given situation. Our responsibility as men and women is not to help God. Our responsibility as men and women is to obey God. And in Numbers chapter 4 and verse 15, God made it very clear that the holy things were not to be touched, and whoever did touch them would die. Uzzah, obey that. That's your responsibility to God. God is wholly self-sufficient. He does not need our help, however, he is a God that loves us. He is a God that wants us close to him. And he is a God that wants us to be obedient to him. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus says there, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's another example of someone in Scripture thinking that they could help God that I want us to look at, and that's in John chapter 18, if you want to turn over there. John chapter 18. Read with me, if you will, beginning in verse number 8 of John chapter 18. We're picking up in the middle of Jesus going into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And after the conclusion of his prayer, the Roman soldiers are coming to arrest him. And in verse number 8, Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying may be fulfilled which he spoke of, those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? What was Peter trying to do here? One of the Lord's closest friends saw his Lord and Savior about to be arrested, about to be taken into custody by Roman guards. And Peter wanted to help. He was outnumbered. He was outgunned, so to speak. But yet Peter was willing to fight to the death, if that's what it meant, to help Jesus. Wouldn't you have thought Jesus would have at least turned to Peter and said, thank you? Thank you for being willing to help? What did Jesus say when he turned to Peter? Peter, put your sword away. Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Peter didn't see it this way, but Jesus had this situation under control. Because Jesus is God. And God doesn't need man's help. What Jesus needed from Peter is for Peter to obey. what Jesus had asked of Peter not too long ago was to spend the night with him in prayer. And if you'll recall, why did Jesus ask him to spend the night in prayer? Pray lest you fall into temptation. And of course, we recall that Jesus went back and he found Peter sleeping instead of praying. God doesn't need our help, but we need his. Peter needed God's help. And he chose sleep over prayer. I truly believe that most of us understand the very basic principle that we need God. I don't believe that is new information to anyone here this morning. But oftentimes we act as if he needs us. Sometimes outwardly, probably most of the time inwardly. Perhaps thoughts have crept into our mind from time to time. God, aren't you fortunate to have me on your side? Look at the influence that I have. Look at the abilities and the capabilities that I have. God, you're lucky to have me. Or perhaps we've looked in Scripture and we've thought to ourselves, you know, this is good, but I think I can help a little bit here. God, I don't think you meant to word it just like that. Let me help you out a little bit. Perhaps we've thought of ways in which we could improve our worship. God doesn't need our help. God needs us to obey. And God needs us to recognize that we need him. John chapter 15, in verse number 5, Jesus said there, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I can remember, it wasn't that long ago, bringing our children home from the hospital when they were born. And you lay them down on the floor on a blanket, and they don't do anything. They just lay there. They can't move. They can't talk. They can't play. They are completely and in every way helpless. And yet there is nothing that has ever brought me more joy in this world than to look at that helpless baby that my wife and I brought into this world. Children are not helpful. In fact, they make life much more challenging. But it's that experience and that understanding in our world today that I think helps us better understand the lesson that Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 18. Beginning in verse number 2, it says there, Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I am the child, and God is my father. He did not create me to be helpful to him. He created me out of pure and unconditional love. John wrote in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, as he there surveyed the throne scene that God had put before him, that those surrounding God's throne were saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Men and women all over the world, and since the beginning of time, have been trying to help God. We get so caught up sometimes of trying to help God that we lose perspective on who truly needs whom. Man's pride truly has no limits. And I think it's for that very reason that Jesus brought before him a small child, a helpless child. And told the people present, and you and I today, if you want to be in heaven one day, you humble yourselves like this little child. We need to recognize the helpless position that we are in before God. We need to recognize that all things have been created by Him, that He knows all things, and that He is capable beyond our wildest imagination. He doesn't need our input. He needs our obedience. He wants us to help others. He wants us to take the gospel and share it with other people and help them. But if we allow pride to take over, pride tells us that we can help God and that He should be glad to have us on His side. If you've never fully submitted your will to Christ's, you have an opportunity to do that this morning. To admit to yourself and to God that you are helpless. That when it comes to sin, you have no remedy. Humble yourselves as a little child and recognize that you need the help of your Father. You have an opportunity this morning to submit your will to His, to repent of wrongs, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've done that in the past, but you realize now that your pride has led you down a path in which you've spent a lot of time trying to prove to God and maybe to others as well how helpful you can be, how great of an asset you are to God's team, I want to encourage you to give that some thought and to humble yourself as that little child that God brought before him. Let's make it our priority today and as we go out in the world to bring joy and happiness to God through our unyielding obedience to him. If you're here this morning, you have any spiritual need that we can help you with, please let us know by coming to the front while we stand and sing.